Chapter 14. Chase reined in his horse. Here, this will be a good place. He led the other three off the trail through an open tract of long-dead spruce, the silver-gray skeleton standing bare of all but a few branches and an occasional wisp of dull green moss. The soft ground was littered with the rotting corpses of the former monarchs. Brown bogweed, its broad, flat leaves laid down in haphazard fashion by past storms, looked like a tangled sea of dead snakes underfoot. The horses picked their way carefully among the tangle. Warm air, heavy with humidity, carried the fetid smell of decay. A fog of mosquitoes followed them as they went, the only things alive, as far as Richard could tell. As open as this place was, little brightness was offered by the sky, as a thick, uniform overcast of clouds hung oppressively close to the ground. Trailers of mist dragged across the silver spikes of the trees that remained standing, leaving them wet and slick. Chase led the way for Zed and then Kalin, with Richard following behind, watching over them as they twisted their way along. Visibility was limited to less than a few hundred feet, and even though Chase didn't seem to be concerned, Richard kept a sharp lookout. Anything could sneak up close before they would be able to see it. All four swatted at the mosquitoes, and except for Zed, they kept their cloaks tight for protection. Zed, who shunned wearing a cloak, nibbled on the remnants of lunch, looking about as if on a sightseeing excursion. Richard had an excellent sense of direction, but was glad they had Chase to lead them. Everything in the bog looked the same, and he knew from experience how easy it would be to become lost. Since Richard had stood on the Wizard's Rock the night before, he felt the weight of his responsibilities less of a burden and more of an opportunity to be part of something right. He didn't feel the danger any less, but felt more strongly his need to be part of stopping Rawl. He saw his part in the scheme of things as a chance to help others who had no chance to fight Dark and Rawl. He knew he couldn't back away. That would be the end of him, and a lot of others. Richard watched Kalin's body sway as she rode, her shoulders moving to the horse's rhythm. He wished he could take her to places he knew of in the Heartland Woods, secret places of beauty and peace, far back in the mountains, show her the waterfall he had found, and the cave behind it, have lunch by a quiet forest pond with her, take her into town, buy her something pretty, take her someplace, any place, where she would be safe. He wanted her to be able to smile without having to worry every minute if her enemies were getting closer. After last night, he felt that the first part, his fantasy of being with her, was just an empty wish. With a hand in the air, Chase brought them to a halt. "This is the place." Richard looked around. They were still in the middle of an endless, dead, dried-up bog. He didn't see any boundary. It all looked the same in every direction. They tethered their horses to a fallen log and followed Chase a short distance farther on foot. "The boundary," Chase announced, holding his arm out at the introduction. "I don't see anything," Richard said. Chase smiled. "Watch." He walked on steadily, slowly. As he went forward, a green glow formed around him, at first hardly perceptible. It grew stronger, brighter, until after another 20 steps it became a sheet of green light pressing against him as he proceeded. Stronger close to him and fading away about 10 feet to the sides and above, growing larger with every step. It was like green glass, wavy and distorted, but Richard could see through it, see the dead trees beyond. Chase stopped and returned. The green sheet, and then the green glow, faded and vanished as he came back. Richard had always thought the boundary would be a wall of some sort, something that could be seen. "That's it?" Richard felt a little let down. "What more do you want? Now, watch this." Chase searched the ground, picking up branches, testing each for strength. Most were rotten and broke easily. Finally, he found one, about a dozen feet long, that was strong enough to suit him. He carried it back into the glowing light until he reached the sheet of green. Holding the branch by the thick end, he passed the rest through the wall. 6 feet away, the end of the stick disappeared as he pushed it forward, until he was holding what appeared to be a 6-foot stick instead of a 12-foot branch. Richard was perplexed. He could see beyond the wall, but not the other end of the stick. It didn't seem possible. As soon as Chase had pushed the stick in as far as he dared, it jumped violently. There was no sound. He hauled it back and returned to the others. He held the splintered end of a now 8-foot stick toward them. The end was covered with slaver. "Harthounds," he said with a grin. Zed seemed bored. Kalin was not amused. Richard was astounded. Since he seemed to have an audience of only one, Chase grabbed a fistful of Richard's shirt and dragged him off. "Come on, I'll show you what it's like." Chase locked his right arm together with Richard's left as they proceeded, cautioning Richard, "Go slow, I'll let you know when we've gone far enough. Keep hold of my arm." They walked ahead slowly. Green light began. With each step, it became more intense, but it was different from when Richard had watched Chase go in by himself. Then the light had been to Chase's sides and above him. Now it was all about. There was a buzzing sound, like 1,000 bumblebees. With each step, the sound became deeper, but not louder. The green light became deeper, too, and the surrounding wood darker, as if night were falling. Then the sheet of green was in front of them, materializing out of nothing, with the green glow everywhere else. Richard could hardly see the woods anymore. He looked back and couldn't see Zed or Kalin at all. "Easy now," Chase warned. They pushed against the green sheet as they stepped slowly ahead. Richard could feel the pressure of it against his body. Then everything else blacked out, as if he were in a cave at night, with a green glow around Chase and himself. Richard held Chase's arm tighter. Buzzing felt like it was vibrating his chest. With the next step, the green sheet of the wall changed suddenly. "Far enough," Chase said, his voice echoing. The wall had become darkly transparent, as if Richard were looking into a deep pond in the dark woods. Chase stood still, watching him. There were forms on the other side. Inky black shapes wavered in the gloom on the other side of the wall, specters floating in the deep. The dead in their lair. Something closer and faster moved nearer to them.
"The hounds," Chase said.
Richard felt an odd sensation of longing. Longing for the blackness. The humming wasn't a sound, he realized. It was voices. Voices that murmured his name. Thousands of distant voices called out to him. The black shapes were gathering, calling to him, holding their arms out to him. He felt a sudden, unexpected stab of loneliness. Felt the solitude of his life, of all life. Why did he need the pain when they were waiting, waiting to welcome him? Never alone again. The black shapes drifted closer in the gloom, calling to him. And he began to see their faces. It was as if he were looking through murky water. They came closer. He longed to step through, to be there with them. And then he saw his father. Richard's heart pounded. His father called out to him mournfully in a long, sorrowful cry. His arms thrust out, trying desperately to clutch for his son. He was just beyond the wall. Richard's heart felt as if it were going to rip with yearning. It had been so long since he had seen his father.
He wailed for him, hungered to touch him. He wouldn't have to be afraid ever again. He had only to reach his father. Then he would be safe. Safe. Forever. Richard tried to reach out to his father, tried to go to him, tried to step through the wall. Something was holding his arm. Irritated, he pulled harder. Someone held him from his father. He screamed for whoever held him to let go. His voice sounded hollow, empty. Then he was being pulled away from his father. His anger roared to life. Someone was trying to drag him back by his arm. In a rage, he grabbed his sword. A big hand clamped over his with an iron grip. Screaming in unrestrained fury, he struggled mightily to free the sword, but the big hands held tight, dragging him, stumbling, from his father. Richard struggled, but was hauled away. The green wall came up suddenly in place of the darkness as he was pulled back. Chase was dragging him away from it, through the green light. The world returned with a sickening jolt. The dry, dead bog returned. Suddenly aware, Richard was appalled at what he had almost done. Chase released his sword hand. Shaking, Richard put it on the big man's shoulder for support, struggling to catch his breath as they stepped out of the green light. Relief washed over him. Chase leaned over a little, searching his eyes. All right? Richard nodded, too overwhelmed to speak. The sight of his father had brought back the devastating grief. He had to concentrate just to breathe, to stand. His throat hurt. He realized he had been choking, but hadn't been aware of it at the time. Terror raced through Richard's mind as he realized how close he had come to stepping through the wall, to death. He had been totally unprepared for what had happened. If Chase hadn't been there holding on to him, he would be dead now. He had tried to give in to the underworld. He felt as if he didn't know himself. How could he have wanted to give himself over to it? Was he that weak? That frail? Richard's head swirled with pain. He couldn't clear the vision of his father's face from his mind. The way his father longed for him, called to him, so desperate. He ached to be with him. It would have been so easy. The image haunted his mind, refusing to let go. He didn't want to let it go. He wanted to go back. He could feel the pull, even as he resisted. Kaylin was there, waiting for them, at the edge of the green light as they emerged. She swept her arm protectively around his waist and tugged him away from Chase. With her other hand, she grabbed hold of his jaw, turning his head, making him look at her. "Richard, listen to me. Think of something else. Concentrate. You have to think of something else. I want you to remember every intersection on every trail in the Heartland. Can you do that for me? Please, do it now. Remember every one for me." He nodded and started to remember the trails. Kaylin turned to Chase in a fury, slapping him across his face as hard as she could. "You bastard!" she screamed. "Why would you do that to him?" Throwing all her weight into it, she slapped him again, her hair tossing across her face. Chase didn't try to stop her. "You did it on purpose. How could you do that?" She swung at him a third time, but this time he grabbed her wrist in mid-swing. "Do you want me to tell you, or do you wish to go on hitting me?" She jerked her hand away, glaring at him, her chest heaving. Some of her hair was stuck sideways across her face. "Going through Kingsport is dangerous. It isn't straight through, it twists and turns. Some places it's very narrow. The two walls of the boundary almost touching. One step either way and you're gone. You've been through the boundary, so has Zed. You both understand. You can't see it until you start in. Otherwise, you don't know where it is. I only know because I've spent my life out here. It's even more dangerous now because it's failing. Even easier to walk through it. When you get in the pass, if something started chasing you, Richard could run into the underworld without even knowing what it was. That's no excuse. You could have warned him. I've never had a child yet who had the proper respect for fire until they put their hand in it once. No amount of telling is worth doing it once. If Richard didn't understand what it was like before he went into Kingsport, he wouldn't come out the other side. Yes, I took him there on purpose, to show him, to keep him alive. You could have told him. Chase shook his head. No, he had to see it. Enough, Richard said, his head clear at last. They all turned to him. A day has yet to go by when one of you three doesn't scare the wits out of me. But I know you all have my best interests at heart. Right now, we have more important things to worry about. Chase, how do you know the boundary is failing? What's different? The wall is breaking down. Before, you couldn't see through the green into the darkness. You couldn't see anything on the other side. Chase is right, Zed offered. I could see it from here. How long until it fails? Richard asked the wizard. Zed shrugged. It's hard to tell. Then guess, Richard shot back. Give me some kind of idea, your best guess. It will last at least 2 weeks, but not more than 6 or 7. Richard thought a minute. Can you use your magic to strengthen it? I don't have that kind of power. Chase, do you think Rawl knows about Kingsport? How should I know? Well, has anyone come through the pass? Chase thought about the question. Not that I know of. I doubt it, Zed added. Rawl can travel the underworld. He doesn't need the pass. He's bringing the boundary down. I don't think he cares about a little pass. Caring is different from knowing, Richard said. I don't think we should be standing here, and I'm worried he might know where we're going. Kaelin pulled the hair off her face. What do you mean? Richard gave her a sympathetic look. Do you think it was your mother and sister you saw when you were in there? I thought it was. Do you think otherwise? I don't think that was my father. He looked to the wizard. What do you think?
It's impossible to say. No one really knows all that much about the underworld.
Dark and Rawl knows about it, Richard said bitterly. I don't think my father would want me in that manner. But I know Rawl would. So despite what my eyes tell me, it's more likely that it was Dark and Rawl's disciples trying to take me. You said we couldn't go through the boundary because they were waiting for us to do so, waiting to get us. I think that was what I saw, his followers in the underworld. And they know right where I touch the wall. If I'm right, that means Rawl will soon know where we are. I don't want to be here to find out if I'm right.
Richard is right, Chase said, and we have to get to Scow Swamp before nightfall, before the Harthounds come out. It's the only safe place between here and South Haven. We'll reach South Haven before tomorrow night, and we'll be safe from the hounds there. The next day we will go see a friend of mine, Addie, the Bone Woman. She lives near the pass. We need her help to get through. But tonight, our only chance is the swamp.
Richard was about to ask what a bone woman was and why they needed her help to cross the boundary, when a dark, shadowy form suddenly whipped out of the air, striking Chase so hard it threw him across several downed trees. With shocking speed, the black form wrapped around Kaelin's legs, whip-like, pulling her feet from under her. She screamed Richard's name as he dove, grabbing for her. They locked their hands around each other's wrists. Both were dragged across the ground toward the boundary. Zed's fingers threw fire over their heads. It shrieked past and vanished. Another black appendage struck out at the wizard with lightning speed, knocking the old man through the air. Richard hooked a foot around a branch on a log. Rotten, it tore from the stump. He twisted his body around, trying to dig his heels into the ground. His boots slid across the wet bogweed. He jammed his heels into the earth, but wasn't strong enough to hold the two of them from being dragged across the ground. He needed his hands free.
"Put your arms around my waist!" he yelled.
Kaelin lunged, throwing her arms around him, holding tight. The sinuous black thing wrapped around her legs undulated, getting a stronger grip on her. She screamed as it squeezed. Richard yanked the sword free, filling the air with its ringing. The green light began to glow around them as they were dragged in. Anger flooded through him. Richard's worst fear was coming to pass. Something was trying to take Kaelin. The green light brightened. Being hauled across the ground, he couldn't reach the thing that pulled them. Kaelin held him hard by the waist. Her legs were too far away, and the thing that held her legs was farther still. "Kaelin, let go of me!" She was too terrified to do it. She clutched him tightly, desperately, panting in pain. The green sheet came up as they were dragged in. The buzzing was loud in his ears. "Let go!" he yelled again. He tried to pry her hands from his waist. The trees of the bog started to fade into darkness. Richard could feel the pressure of the wall. He couldn't believe how strongly she held him. On his back, sliding across the ground, he tried to reach behind himself to pull her wrists away from him, but could not. Their only chance was for him to get up. "Kaelin! You have to let go or we're dead! I won't let them get you! Trust me! Let go!" He didn't know if he was telling her the truth, but he was sure it was their only chance. Her head pressed against his stomach as she clutched his body. Kaelin looked up at him, her face contorting in pain as the black thing squeezed. She screamed, then let go. In a blink, Richard was on his feet. As he jumped up, the dark wall materialized abruptly in front of him. His father reached out. He unleashed his rage, swinging the sword with every fiber of violence he possessed. The blade swept through the barrier, through the thing he knew wasn't his father. The dark shape wailed, exploding into a cloud of nothingness. Kaelin's feet were at the wall, the dark thing enfolded tightly around her legs, compressing and pulling. He brought the sword up. Murderous need surged through him. "Richard, no! It's my sister!" He knew it wasn't, just as it wasn't his father. He gave himself over completely to the hot need and brought the sword down as hard as he could. Again it swept through the wall, slashed through the repulsive thing that held Kaelin. There was a confusion of flashes, unearthly wailing and keening. Kaelin's legs were free. She lay sprawled on her stomach. Without looking to see what else was happening, Richard pushed his arm under her waist and lifted her in a single motion, scooping her off the ground. He held her tight against himself and held the sword toward the wall as he retreated from the boundary. Backing away steadily, he watched for any movement, any aggression. They left the green light. He kept going until they were well clear, beyond the horses. When he stopped at last and released her, Kaelin turned and threw her arms around him, shaking. He had to struggle to restrain the rage that urged him to go back in and attack. He knew he would have to put the sword away to quell the anger, the need, but he didn't dare to. "The others, where are they?" she asked in a panic. "We have to find them." Kaelin pushed away from him and started to run back. Richard snatched her by the wrist, almost yanking her from her feet. "Stay here!" he yelled far more angrily than required, pushing her to the ground. Richard found Zed in a heap, unconscious. As he bent to the old man, something swept out in a rush over his head. His anger erupted. He spun with the sword, the blade sweeping through the dark form. The stump reeled back into the boundary with a shrill screeching, the severed part vaporizing in midair. Richard picked up Zed with one arm, threw him over his shoulder like a sack of grain, and carried him to Kaelin, where he laid him gently on the ground. She held the wizard's head in her lap, inspecting for wounds. Richard ducked low as he ran back, but the expected attack didn't come. He wished it would. He longed for the fight, hungered to strike. He found Chase jammed partway under a log. Richard seized the mail and pulled him over. Blood oozed from a gash on the side of Chase's head. Debris was stuck to the wound. Richard's mind raced, trying to think what to do. He couldn't lift Chase with one arm, and he didn't dare to put the sword away. He did know he didn't want Kaylin to come help. He wanted her to stay safely away. Getting a good grip on the warden's leather tunic, Richard started dragging him. The slick bog weed eased the effort somewhat, but it was still difficult, because he had to go around several fallen trees. Surprisingly, nothing attacked. Maybe he had hurt it, or killed it. He wondered if it was possible to kill something already dead. The sword had magic. Richard wasn't sure what it was capable of. He wasn't even sure if the things in the boundary were dead. He finally reached Kaylin and Zed and dragged Chase close. The wizard was still unconscious. Kaylin's face was white with worry. What are we going to do? Richard scanned around. We can't stay here and we can't leave them. Let's put them over the horses and get out of here. We'll look to their wounds as soon as we're a safe distance away. The clouds were thicker than before, and mist covered everything with a wet sheen. As he checked in every direction, Richard put the sword away and easily lifted Zed over his horse. Chase was more difficult. He was big, and all his weapons were heavy. Blood throbbed from the wound on the side of his forehead, soaking his hair, and hanging him over the side of the horse made it bleed more. Richard decided he couldn't leave it untended. He quickly retrieved an ohm leaf and a strip of cloth from a pack. He crumpled the leaf to make it seep its healing fluid, pressed it against the wound, and had Kaylin wrap the cloth around Chase's head. The cloth soaked through almost immediately, but he knew the ohm leaf would stop the bleeding in a short time. Richard helped Kaylin up onto her horse. He could tell that her legs hurt more than she would admit. He gave her the reins of Zed's horse, mounted up, took Chase's horse, and then carefully got his bearings. He knew they would have a hard time finding the trail. The mist was getting heavy, visibility limited. There seemed to be ghosts watching from the shadows in every direction. He didn't know if he should lead or follow Kaylin, didn't know how best to protect her, so he rode beside her. Zed and Chase weren't tied down and could easily slip off the horses, so they had to take it slow. The dead spruce looked the same in every direction, and they couldn't go in a straight line because they had to cut back and forth around fallen trees. Richard spat out mosquitoes that kept flying into his mouth. The sky was the same dark steel gray everywhere. There was no chance to tell where the sun was, to get oriented. After a time, Richard wasn't at all sure they were going in the right direction. It seemed they should have reached the trail already. He took fixes from landmark trees, and when they reached each one, he would pick a new one farther ahead, hoping they were traveling in a straight line. To do it properly, he knew he had to be able to line up at least three trees to make sure the line of travel was straight. But he couldn't see that far in the mist. He couldn't be sure he wasn't leading them in circles. Even if he was going in a straight line, he wasn't sure the direction was toward the trail. "Are you sure we're going the right way?" Kaylin asked. "It all looks the same." "No. But at least we haven't run into the boundary. Do you think we should stop and tend to them?" "We don't dare. For all I know, we could be 10 feet from the underworld." Kaylin looked around, worried. Richard gave thought to having her wait with the other two while he went ahead and scouted for the trail, but dismissed the idea, as he was afraid he might not be able to find her again. They had to stay together. He started to wonder what they would do if they couldn't find their way out before dark. How would they protect themselves against the Heart Hounds? If there were enough of them, even the sword couldn't hold them all off at once. Chase had said they had to get to the swamp before nightfall. He hadn't said why or how the swamp could protect them. The brown bogweed was an endless sea all around, with hulks of trees aground in it everywhere. An oak appeared off to their left, then some more, some with leaves shimmering dark green and wet in the mist. This was not the way they had come in. Richard turned them to the right a little, following the edge of the dead bog, hoping it would lead them back to the trail. Shadows from the brush among the oaks watched them. He told himself it was his imagination that made the shadows seem to have eyes. There was no wind, no movement, no sound. He was angry with himself for being lost, despite how easily it could happen in this place. He was a guide. Getting lost was unforgivable. Richard breathed out in relief when he saw the trail at last. They quickly dismounted and checked their two charges. There was no change in Zed, but at least Chase's wound had stopped bleeding. Richard had no idea what to do for them. He didn't know if they had been knocked unconscious or if their condition was caused by some sort of magic from the boundary. Kaelin didn't know either. "What do you think we should do?" she asked him. Richard tried not to look as worried as he really was. "Chase said we had to get to the swamp or the hounds would get us. It won't do them any good to be laid out here and tended to while we wait for them to wake, only to have the hounds get us all. As I see it, we have only two choices. Leave them here or take them with us. There is no way I'm leaving them. Let's tie them down on the horses so they don't fall off and get to the swamp." Kaelin agreed. They worked quickly to lash their friends to the horses. Richard changed Chase's bandage and cleaned up the wound a little. The mist was changing to a light rain. He fished around in the packs, finding the blankets, and removed the oilcloth they were wrapped in. They put a blanket over each friend, then covered them with the oilcloth to keep them dry, criss-crossing rope over it all to hold it in place. When they were finished, Kaelin unexpectedly put her arms around him, hugging him close and tight for a moment, separating before he could return her gesture. "Thank you for saving me," she said softly. "The boundary terrifies me." She looked sheepishly up at him. "And if you remind me what I said about not coming after me, I'll kick you." She smiled as she looked up from under her eyebrows. "Not a word. I promise." He smiled back at her and pulled up the hood of her cloak, stuffing her hair into it to keep her dry in the rain. He pulled up his own hood, and they started off down the road. The woods were deserted. Rain dripped down through the tangle overhead. Branches reached around the trail like talons reaching to snatch both people and horses. Even without their riders' direction, the horses trotted their way carefully down the center of the road, their ears pricking from one side to the other, as if listening to the shadows. So dense was the thicket to each side that there was no chance they could take to the trees if they had to. Kaelin drew her cloak tighter. It was go on or go back. And there was no going back. They rode the horses hard the rest of the afternoon and evening. When the day's death began stealing away the soft gray light, they still had not reached the swamp, and there was no way to tell how much farther it was. Off through the tangled woods, they caught the sound of howling, their breath caught in their throats. The Harthounds were coming.